grace. So what's my entry point into grace? These are those laden words. The first thing that comes to my mind is this. I have these two aunts in Italy. They're very Catholic and very devoted to the Virgin Mary. And also they, basically, they're old ladies and they're very perplexed about the type of life I lead overseas, over here. They don't understand this niece that is far away. Very inaccessible, what I do. They don't understand the culture that I live in. Actually, right now, I only have one of these two aunts left because one passed away a couple of years ago, and quite suddenly, but I still can't get my head around that because she was such a force of life, and she was such a big part of my life that I still think she's alive. It's really weird and awkward because then I have to remember it, but I digress. My point for this is that these two aunts that don't understand my life, they've always been my mom's champion. They're older than my mom, and they've always protected her, helped her in all her life. My mom is 80 years old. These ladies are older. This is 80 years of being the protectors. And so they know that when my mom's only child, that would be me, and her family takes to a trip overseas, that they have to help that. And so they pray for grace on my behalf. And it's not just a prayer here and there. This is hardcore Catholic stuff. They say a novena, which is a 9-day directed prayer every day for 9 days. They always want to know when I'm coming well in advance so that they can plan this thing. And they pray. They say the novena. They say novenas for other things, but for me, this, for my grace from the Virgin Mary and Jesus and God, for my well-being during the flight. So these two old ladies are my entry point into grace today or always. For over 30 years, these two old ladies have spent 9 days of their lives praying for me, okay? 9 days on the way there and 9 days on the way back. Okay, so it's a lot of time per year per aunt. And so I've calculated about in the last 30 years, 3.5% of their life was spent praying for me. Roughly. Sometimes you can outsource the praying, but they're not the type that outsources the praying, okay? I don't mean to be ungrateful because they've been very kind to me and my mom and all my life, and that's a beautiful thing. But here's the thing. One aunt has been gone for 2 years. And the other one is not well. She's bedridden most of the time. She's just getting it on with the years. So for the past 2 years, me and my family have been flying back and forth overseas, and things went okay. And nobody was praying for us, which is the sticking point about this concept of grace that I'm thinking, that I understand or that I know. So what does grace mean then? I've been able to fly. I also travel for work. She doesn't know that. So why am I still being held up in the air? How do I relate to a concept of grace that is kind of foreign to me, much like my aunt doesn't understand what I do in America? And why do I want to know? Why do I care? Well, I have to give a sermon, so obviously, but the reason I said yes to saying the sermon today is because I'm one of those UUs who wants to reclaim some of these touchstone words that are being used in other denominations, like faith and redemption and sin. And sin, yeah. Yeah, Lane. Because I like you, Hughes, because they heckled the sermon, right? Right. Okay. Because the UU faith is a faith that saves lives. We're all here because we believe this above all. I don't know, maybe I'm generalizing, but I think ultimately that's what it is. And so we cannot disregard concept of being around for millennia, like grace and other, like salvation and redemption, just because they contain potentially upsetting references to fully formed gendered gods that we don't like from previous religious experience we've had. Because the concept of grace, it's my contention, at least today, for the purpose of this, is that it's helpful. It exists because a lot of people have thought about it and that it worked for them. So how can it be repurposed and used to our better advantage? So let's step back for a minute. In regards whether or not what grace means, whether or not it means asking God for a material favor, please keep me up in the air, no turbulence, thanks. If you ask lay people, even the very devoted, they think that grace is some sort of a prize, an unexpected lottery-type gift that you get from God. A word that is used often interchangeably with blessing. I found the parking spot. Small grace, hashtag so blessed. But if you look at theology, because we gotta go a little bit deeper in that, the grace of God is what God gives you to have you experience a second chance after you have sinned. Yes, sinned. Back on that. So in the words of my favorite self-declared Catholic sinner and Buddhist sympathizer, Thomas Merton, grace is not a strange magic substance which is subtly filtered into our souls to act as a kind of spiritual penicillin. Grace is unity, oneness with ourselves, and oneness with God. Oneness with God. Okay. Well, that's the Catholic view. But believe me, that's not just the Catholic view. I looked up other theologies, and pretty much the definition is similar. Grace is something that God gives you to make you be like them. For instance, Martin Luther said, grace is given to heal the spiritually sick, not to decorate spiritual heroes. There's a lot of problems that I have with this sentence, but that's a quote from a different religion. So depending who you ask, to most Christian theologies, God, who is forever disappointed in you, is doing you a spiritual favor to help you be more in his image by giving you grace. And when I say you, I mean all of us. Okay. So this is where I found myself for many days. I've known I had to give the sermons for about a month, and I was stuck there, angry at this God of the, you know, this guy here, right? Because it reminds me of Catholic upbringing, wanting to mediate this idea. But I was angry at the realization, more importantly, that I was going down a path that could either bring me to explain away grace as magical thinking, which is something I absolutely don't like to do. So God, please grant me all the things that I want, all the material things. Or down the rabbit hole of having to only have a definition of grace that is based on believing in a God. And that for me, for the purposes of what I wanted to do, for the purposes of having a definition that works for Unitarian Universalists, whether they believe in God or not, that is not what I wanted, where I wanted to go. I was asking whether or not I could understand if grace can can work in the absence of any God, in the absence of a constructed God from other denominations that maybe we don't all want to accept, and can it encompass all of them? I mean, I don't have a problem with the definitions that are given, but I wanted to broaden this idea. So then I went into complete word nerd or geek mode, because words are important. And to me, when you say grace, when you say the word grace, what does that mean? Where does it come from? How is it used? That's the point of entry outside of my experience with people talking about grace, that it's important. So what I went down is a different type of rabbit hole. I wanted to know where the word grace comes from, because usage may help, the understanding of usage may help in repurposing and broadening this concept of grace, making us able to use this word without having to call up bad things. So grace is a word that comes to English from the French, and it comes from the Latin gratus, which means thankful. All right, that's easy, but that doesn't explain what we're thankful for and doesn't tell me the whole story. But notice that the word grace in normal speech, as other usages, grace is also used to describe a type of harmonious beauty. So that person comports themselves with grace. So that is a term. At this point, though, you start thinking, okay, no, I gotta see where it comes from, the Greek, because that's where the important meaning is gonna come from. And the Greek word is charis, which is a root word from, and that brings us the word charisma, and also charity. And so that gets interesting, because I know not many people are word nerds, but charism, if you look at it in a Greek dictionary, charism has many meanings. And typically, or at least the one that I consulted is set up, this dictionary has the meanings by abundance, but also by historical occurrence, because Greek is a dead language, at least ancient Greek is a dead language. So they go and look up where is the first occurrence of this term and how many times it comes. When you look at the dictionary, the meaning beauty and joy for charis come before the meaning grace, as we intend it spiritually, and the meanings gratitude and respect come after. So the entry for charis has two pages of a big dictionary, and that's five meanings. The five meanings are beauty, joy, grace, gratitude, and respect. So based on this, I'm starting to see a pattern of usage that is important to combine in an idea of grace. Maybe grace can be thought of as a type of movement of the spirit, not in the sense of the movement, but in the sense of motion, or how the spirit moves, a spirit that senses the beauty of a gesture, the beauty of something, an image, a sound, a thing, receives joy through it and becomes thankful. So you get this experience at a spiritual level, you see something beautiful, and it opens your spirit. So grace is a spiritual joy after a moment of beauty. I can work with this. Grace is a state of the spirit, a moment of revelation. There's another touchstone word. A state of unburdening. And this can be used whether or not there is a God underneath it. So you've probably noticed the hymn Amazing Grace is not part of the ones we're singing today. And there is a reason for that. That is because I'm going to use it right now for a quick exegesis. So the words of Amazing Grace, we all know them, but I'm going to repeat them. It's our hymn 206, incidentally. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And most people know that the story is this guy was shipwrecked and thought that he was saved by God in the shipwreck in the 1750s approximately. That's when it was written. But if you can imagine this as a state of your spirit instead of an actual guy in an actual beach in Massachusetts after a shipwreck, you can imagine, let's imagine you're stuck in traffic, something pedestrian, on a weekday, on the way to an errand, on the way to an office, an appointment, something, and inside yourself, you have this ongoing ticker tape of thoughts, anger, anxiety, self-doubt, sadness, self-doubt. And you would call yourself a wretch. I mean, like, on a good day, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of bad, negative things going in my mind. And I can't, you feel like you're drowning in dull. You turn from blue to like kind of gray, or from orange to kind of gray, like in that movie, you know, sort of no. And suddenly you see a ray of sun coming from the cloud, you see a bird, you see something weird, you hear a tune on the radio that you like, you laugh when you're listening to a podcast, looking at you. You see something pretty in a moment where everything is dull, and you get out of yourself and are able to see that you're connected to the fabric of the universe as it is and as you are. Being able to see that thing, we're part of the whole, we get out of our mind for a moment, makes us see and moves us somehow. This is grace without God, if you want, if you don't want God. You can have grace with God. If you believe in God, that can be. But this stands on its own. This grace saves our soul from drowning in that moment inside. So what is this unburdening I was talking about? What are we getting saved from in that moment? We're getting saved from ourselves. Grace saves us from ourselves. In order to experience this kind of grace that I'm talking about, we have to get out of our heads and interact with the present. Whether it's a lovely sunset or sunrise or a ray of light, a cat, a moment of connection with a loved one, music, art, friends, grace takes us inward to outward and makes us be in the present and recognize we're part of the tapestry of life. And grace is reciprocal. We notice the sunset, and the sunset is there to be noticed. Someone is playing music, and we are the audience. We smile at our child, and we get some kind of a reaction, possibly a smile back. And the redemption we get is that small, still voice inside of us that says, you don't need to be anything else in order to be okay. You don't need a sign. You are a sign. You are part of the universe. Amen and blessed be.